This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Okay, we are live. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Alhamdulillah. Wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulillah. Wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa mawala wa ba'd. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum
assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
How's it, guys?
Alhamdulillah.
Good, alhamdulillah.
How are you doing?
Tired.
Alhamdulillah.
Tired. Alhamdulillah. This is my good friend and colleague, Nizam Abdul.
I'm going to say it again.
Yeah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Tell us a bit about yourself, Nizam. I think our viewers would probably be familiar with you. You're most a famous guy. But nonetheless, give us a formal introduction.
I'm famous because I know famous people like you. That's my shot to fame. Alhamdulillah.
No comment.
Alhamdulillah, Nizam Abdul, from the Fusion in Jamaica Foundation. That's me, man. That's me.
Okay, I'm going to tell you who he is now. This guy works harder than most people I know. And most of it is not for himself, but for others. How's that for an introduction?
Alhamdulillah, we'll take it. I'll accept.
No, I think you're very lucky to have a friend like me. I think so highly of you. But you say, are you okay on your phone, man?
I'm getting a link because you didn't send
Why
me a link.
Why must you be like such a millennial?
I'm getting a
this
link.
This isn't even our podcast. This is a different platform altogether. And you're still coming with your tricks.
Because I need to share it with everybody. I don't want anybody to miss out.
Look here, it's the last 10 nights of Ramadan. If you can't come right now.
Yeah, no, an easier window. Let me throw my phone out by the window. Come here.
Oh, Allah help you, man.
I mean, all of us. I mean.
Yeah, Rob. I sent the link to Nizam. Nizam can send it to Ahmed. And Ahmed can forward it to the world. And then he can put his phone on flight mode and put it on the table so that it doesn't interfere with my broadcasting signal. Yeah. And Allah.
I don't also want to get the pack of the show. Also, so we just
again, you must say again.
Again, yeah.
Sometimes you must take advantage when you got a bit of seniority. And I technically taught him. I will never go around saying like, yeah, I'm so stupid. But I taught him something.
That makes two of
something.
Us. That makes two of us.
No?
Quite a lot.
Nizam was actually
one of my high school teachers.
No. No, you old.
People scared him because he looks older than me, man. So people was like, nah, I can't be.
You old, my bro.
No, I think he was one of the younger teachers.
He was old when he came to school.
Give me a chance.
I was young when I was teaching him.
Give me a chance. I want to be able to guess how old you are. If you taught him. Then you must like 42.
Almost, no?
Yeah.
Almost. No. I'm 35. Let me just put it out there. I'm 35.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. You're 35?
And Ahmed's 34.
I'm 34. No. I'm 34.
But you keep it older than me.
I just turned 34. Believe it or not, you I look old for my age, no?
Mm.
But a lot of people say that I did look very old for my age, and now I don't look old for my age anymore, but the gray throws you off.
But you see what I'm doing? I'm using the mic to cover the grays, man. So it just looks like...
It's not working from my angle.
Yeah, but you must...
Okay, guys, look, what are we here for? We are here for...
So, alhamdulillah.
I'm waiting for him to jump in.
I didn't catch that cue there. So, alhamdulillah, thumma alhamdulillah, all praise and thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Again, it's just a pleasure to be back in studio number one with you, and that's always a pleasure. But tonight,
why did you become so formal all of a sudden?
Because I'm just now switching gears a bit. You said earlier, it's not our podcast.
Yeah.
You're telling me out about this.
But now, why are you so well behaved on other people's podcast? But with us, then you're like always raffle eight.
Because they, you guys are
You
the...
came now with a formal, alhamdulillah, you know, guys, da 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 da.
Because they, in that podcast, there's you
I'm
guys
shocked.
And I'm the rebel over there.
I'm lost for words.
I also wanted to show you, I did learn a few things from you and Mullah Zakaria.
I think I stand corrected. Ramadan is making you islah. You're coming right, mashallah.
Alhamdulillah.
Okay, last you said gaze again, bismillah, go for it.
Back. So, alhamdulillah, we, this evening is somewhat at ease, and I had to switch gears because it is it's a bit more special to me to be here, and I feel blessed again, alhamdulillah, thumma alhamdulillah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has facilitated for me to be able to be part of this project. So alhamdulillah, for all of our viewers, you may notice that a year ago, alhamdulillah.
So one second, Dakika. Just changing something. Okay. Go for it.
So a year ago, we were on the show, alhamdulillah, and we were talking about TTR and our TTR Badr campaign. And alhamdulillah, thumma alhamdulillah, I must start off by thanking everybody, all of the Isnad Academy, who that time was Abu Tazkiya followers. And subhanallah, we came on the show and we basically shared our plight, our mission. And subhanallah, we launched the Badr campaign. And with this launch of the Badr campaign, the idea was to bring the community together to facilitate for the growth and the continuation of the organization from one Ramadan up until the next. And that's what makes this so special for me, because it's the next Ramadan since we were here launching the campaign. Subhanallah, now we're here off the back of the support of our community, alhamdulillah, to show everybody and to remind everybody about that step you took with us last year. And that, subhanallah, has resulted in growth, and it has resulted in the fact that you've carried and assisted the growth of an institution from one year to the next. And then what makes it even more special this evening is that the actual Badr campaign itself has grown. And in our small way last year, the concept was unity. So we called on, you know, we weren't looking for one donor or one person. We were calling on the community. We're saying, listen, it's our project, it's our mission, it's our deen, it's our Quran, and we want to pass it over from one generation to the next with excellence. And the concept was, let's do it together. And we had, subhanallah, some of the viewers were here, from other platforms as well. People were coming together to sign up 50 rands a month, 100 rand. The call at the time, the campaign was 313 people to donate 313 rands. And alhamdulillah, people came forward with 313 rands, with 500 rands, with 50 rands, with anything. And subhanallah, the growth that we saw over this period, it was so inspiring for us that when my sister, Maalima Fadwa, who I think she's going to be joining us shortly, she came to speak to me a bit about some of the challenges that they were experiencing within their organization. And then I said, you know what? We did this thing. It helped. And this is what we did. And we gave them the blueprint of what we did and the outline of it and whatever, whatever. They took it. We worked on it together to create, you know, a similar type of campaign. But obviously, they had slightly different objectives and, you know, Maalima had a bit of a different style to it and whatever. But alhamdulillah, we then launched the Moonlight campaign. And then we saw the growth for Qamar Institute. So now we had, off the back of that one campaign that was launched at TTR, we then saw the growth of TTR and then the growth of Qamar Institute. And then myself and Maalima sat down and we said, you know what, man? Let's keep doing this. Let's keep working with people to work with our ummah. And subhanallah, you know, then I met with Nizam, who's, when you say collaboration and teamwork and working together, and then he can't sit still in the chair. And
he's like that. Yeah, like that.
And I didn't even get to speak.
I actually want to bring him in now.
Yeah.
What are you doing here?
I think Ahmad was going to get to that.
Yeah, but I want you to say, because you're sitting here all comfortable. This is the hot seat, brother.
Alhamdulillah.
We don't play nice.
I think we want to start off by saying we're really grateful to Ahmad and the TTR team for getting us involved in this project. It's an amazing project. It's the Ahlul Badr campaign is something truly, truly remarkable. And for the people who's been following our journey at Fusion, you'd know that I don't need a second invitation to speak about the Fusion Niamek Foundation. It's something I'm very, very passionate about. But with this particular campaign, I just feel that I want to push this campaign even harder, because it's not just about Fusion. It's not just about TTR. It's not even just about the six organizations that has come together in this collaboration. But more over and above that, it's about the one donation and multiple rewards opportunity for our donors to be a part of. And it's an amazing opportunity, alhamdulillah.
What do you mean, one donation, multiple rewards?
So that's the tagline of our campaign, the Ahlul Badr campaign, where we encourage our community to make a donation to one account so that it can benefit six organizations, which can make a real impact. And if we'll probably discuss these organizations a little bit in detail, but each organization has a special and a unique niche that they serve in terms of the ummah, alhamdulillah, from seeing to orphans and vulnerable children, to educating hifz learners and students of deen, to focusing on mothers and then young kids and feeding communities. So one donation will ensure that all of these projects are sustainable, inshallah, and you get the reward for all of them, inshallah.
It sounds like riba.
Halal riba.
Halal riba, no? It's a smart investment.
You must be careful what you say, Yashif. Halal riba, people are going to take you seriously. What are you talking about?
I'm talking about...
No. I don't trust you. I'm going to bring in Mu'alima Fadwa. Let's rather ask her.
Why must you bring my titi in for me?
Wait your turn, young man. The elders are speaking. Assalamu alaikum, Mu'alima Fadwa. You unmute yourself. Then let me unmute you quickly. You must unmute yourself.
Wa alaikum salam. Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah.
How are you doing?
Good, alhamdulillah. How are you, Wana?
Can't complain, alhamdulillah. Your brother's giving me a hard time.
So do you complain?
Your brother's giving me a hard time. But you know, we take it on the chin. I want to bring you in here. He's talking about halal riba. What nonsense is this? Talk to him, Kanala. He is listening. Are you well? Are you good? You're going to tell us about this this campaign from your side, inshallah. I believe you're involved as well.
Yes, alhamdulillah. Firstly, I'm very, very grateful to be here. Alhamdulillah. From my side,
we can hear you, yeah.
It sounds fine from outside.
Let me just see something quickly.
No, the sound is just coming back at me, so I'm not sure. Let me check now.
How's it now?
Okay. I think it's a bit better now. It's much better. Okay. From my side, alhamdulillah, very, very excited also to be here, to have this opportunity. And as my brother mentioned, the idea really came about last year.
Chiki is on his phone again, Malima.
The idea came about last year when we had quite a problem, alhamdulillah. Qabr Institute was forced to run as an online institution for the very first time, which worked. It actually worked well, alhamdulillah. The problem was when lockdown ended and we needed to get back into the masjid, and we realized that we just weren't set up for it. We didn't have the right equipment, infrastructure, you know. And what happened during the lockdown period was that, you know, alhamdulillah, by the permission of Allah, you know, our madrasa had students coming in from various parts of South Africa and various parts of outside of South Africa as well, alhamdulillah. And so we were sitting with all our students, our international students, and pretty much stuck in the sky. And we weren't prepared to leave them behind. And so we needed to come up with something to raise enough funds to be able to purchase the equipment that we need, to be able to go back to our two masajid that we operate from, you know, and have all our classes running whilst catering for both our students in Cape Town and, you know, those online as well. And so, subhanAllah, we had a good chat. And, you know, the saying, لِكُلِّ فَنٍ رِجَالٍ, you know, they are experts in every field. And I think on my side, subhanAllah, we knew what we knew at the time, but when it came to like fundraising and all of those things, we were just at a loss. And that's when, you know, TTR came in and my brother sat with me and shared some of the things that they did with the Badr campaign. And subhanAllah, the growth of our institution from last year Ramadan until this year Ramadan, it's been amazing, alhamdulillah. And then we've sat this year again to discuss, you know, some plans so that we can, you know, make it through another year, inshallah. The idea came about to just, you know, share what we are doing with other organizations as well, inshallah, so that we can have like the same kind of success for everyone out there, inshallah. And
Mu'allima Maaf, I must jump in here. We know each other for quite a long time, actually. I don't know if many people would know that we go way back to the good old Daru Naim days. But we don't often get the chance to connect. And it's a real pleasure having you on the podcast. Allah bless you for your good work that you do. But I'm gonna have to put you on the spot quickly, man. It's just, you know, that's just who I am, Maaf. I want you to tell us, what was the most inspiring story of Sadaqah that you've ever heard that you'd like to share with us?
The most inspiring story of Sadaqah.
Or that you've witnessed or been part of.
SubhanAllah, I think there are a few that come to mind, actually. One I was actually thinking about today. You know, it's Ramadan, so everyone likes to spend. So what I've done is I usually don't travel with cash, right? I just use my card. But then I started making change and keeping cash with me, you know, in my bag and not even in my purse, because you don't want to stop at the robot and have to unzip and, you know, everything involved. And so I put the cash in a place where it's just easily accessible for me, so that at any point, you know, if someone needs something or even someone comes to the door and, you know, they want something, whatever, then I can just reach in. And because it's broken up into maybe smaller portions, I just made this intention to try and give all the time instead of maybe just giving once off now and then and so on. So I was driving today and this person comes to the door and I reached into the space and I got some money out and alhamdulillah, I gave the person and everything. And I was just thinking about sadaqah and I was thinking about, you know, what is the most valuable kind of sadaqah, you know, that one can make. And I actually remembered the Daru Naim. We had a function once a few years ago. It was this whole alumni and Daru Naim Institute was in need of some assistance at the time. And then I filled in a debit order form back then, and it was for 50 rand a month, right? And it's alhamdulillah, it was an amount that I don't feel, you know, because it's only 50 rand, that was the amount I could afford at the time. And so it goes up every month, but I don't feel it. And sometimes I don't even see it because I don't always check statements or my personal statements. I don't always check in, you know. And then subhanAllah, I was just thinking of the growth of the institution. And I was thinking about the amount of students graduating. And I was thinking about the amount of students who have come from Daru Naim, you know, now running their own institutions. And the students who are maybe not really running institutions, but you meet them along the way and you know, bump into them on the road and you find out that their children are now not just focused on the academic side, but they're learning to understand the Quran as well. This one's son is now memorizing Quran. That one's daughter is, she's gone into medicine, but before that, the parents ensured that, you know, she's got the solid foundation in her deen. She can read Quran with understanding and all of these things. So you hear all of these stories. And I was actually driving and I thought, subhanAllah, is it really possible that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed me to contribute 50 rand to an institution that has affected Cape Town in such a ginormous way, subhanAllah. And I started thinking about every student.
Ahmed, sister. ginormous.
Sorry. I started thinking about every single student.
Just don't apologize to Malaysia. Just kapan. What I've learned, alhamdulillah, here in studio online, just keep going. I'm just going to comment on every word you say, the grammar of it. Did you make that up now? Can we Google the answer quickly? Stuff like that. Just keep going, inshallah.
Yes, Shreem, I know that he's been giving you a hard time. Don't worry. I know that.
You thought you were bringing my titty to scout me out. It was a plan. My titty's here to defend me tonight.
Sorry about that, Irshad.
Yeah, no problem.
So subhanAllah, I was just thinking about how many people have changed their lives. And I started thinking about, the rewards involved. And I was driving, but I had to just, bring myself back to the road. And I was really moved by the fact that I had that opportunity. And it's something that I actually just forgot about. I just completely forgot about it. And yet, subhanAllah, if Allah accepts and, I get a share in the success of that institution, which I know is still, always does so well, subhanAllah, that's just recently something that moved me in terms of sadaqah, a sadaqah that I gave so many years ago that I actually forgot about. But, if accepted, then, there might be, I thought, sure, if what else fails, maybe that sadaqah is going to, pull me through the Qiyamah, subhanAllah.
I mean,
so, that's the first one that comes to mind. There's a few, but I think I'll stop here for now, inshallah.
Okay. Khair, barakallahu feekum. Allah bless. May Allah grant that we can all attain the benefits of sadaqah. I always think, people think like Ramadan, sadaqah, it's like a lot, man. There's a lot of institutions and so forth, but it's almost like the Black Friday for Islamic institutions, because it's the one time in the year when all the Muslims all of a sudden want to give the zakah away, want to make sadaqah, want to get rewards. But it also makes sense because this is what the Prophet ﷺ did.
Yes.
Like of all the things that he could become more in, he became more in generosity in Ramadan. He was kind of ajwad an-nas, or ajwad ma yakunu fi Ramadan. And then even more so, he was affected to become more generous than the rain bringing winds.
Yeah,
when he used to spend the nights with the Quran and with Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, which tells me that, on the one hand, you're doing all this ibadah, kwai, mashallah, taqabbalallah, Allah accept.
Mm-hmm.
But that ibadah must affect you on the inside.
Mm.
It must transform you as a person.
Mm.
Otherwise, it's just firewood that you're building up for people to come collect on the day of Qiyamah.
Yeah, Rabbi.
And put on their weighted side of good deeds.
Yeah.
Because you're going to make the same mistakes.
Yeah.
But if your good deeds, if your Quran recitation and your salah, your tarawih and so on, if that affects who you are as a person and you benefit society more in whatever you do, you're just a better person.
Mm-hmm.
And that's enough.
Mm-hmm.
But beyond that, with your money, with your... If that's what happens, then that's exactly what happened to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's like a sunnah of his hal.
Subhanallah.
So you can be in that same hal by becoming extra generous in the month of Ramadan.
And I think you made a very important point, Mona. Like, I remember our podcast just before Ramadan, within we were talking about preparing for Ramadan and then, how do you capitalize on Ramadan and stuff. And we said, like be conscious, man, and like be strategic with regards to your a'mal, man. And now you're mentioning that ibadah should be doing something to you inside, man. And I was just listening to the last thing Ma'alima Fadwa ended off on. So she said that sadaqah, if all else fails, maybe that sadaqah is going to be the thing that tips the scale for me or whatever it may be, or grants me, entrance into Jannah, whatever it may be. But that's exactly, and then you mentioned this thing about ibadah that actually transforms or does something to you on the inside. And then I thought about when people Allah mentions in the Quran when Allah speaks about how after people will pass on, then they will want to come back. How does the verse go? The verse goes, أَنْفِقُوا مِمَّا رَزَقْنَاكُمْ مِنْ قَبْلِ أَن يَأْتِيَ أَحَدَكُمُ الْمَوْتِ. Allah says, spend of that which Allah SWT has given you, right? أَنْفِقُوا مِمَّا رَزَقْنَاكُمْ مِنْ قَبْلِ أَنْ يَأْتِي أَحَدَكُمُ الْمَوْتِ, before death comes to you. فَيَقُولَ رَبِّ لَوْلَا, lest you become of those who, after they die, they say, لولا أخرتني إلى أجل قريب. Oh Allah, if you just send me back just for a short time, just أجل قريب, just a little bit, right? Now, if you get a chance to go back, you must thinking you're going to do the most impactful thing you can possibly do. Mm. If Allah's going to give you a quick chance to go back, then what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? What are they going to cry for? إلى أجل قريب فأصدق وأكون من الصالحين. Then I can if you're going to give me a chance to go back, I'm going to give that sadaqah. But then what is unique, and it just stood out to me now when you spoke about how ibadah transforms, then it says وَأَكُمْ مِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ, and I'm going to be of the
pious. But look here, why did he say sadaqah in the first place, man? Because he obviously now witnesses in the akhirah the effects of sadaqah, and that's why he makes his choice, mm-hmm. that when he goes back, of all the things that he can do,
that's the one he's going to choose.
He's going to go do sadaqah.
Not salah or...
Yeah. He's going to be like, my bro, if that is what's... And it makes sense because that's the same thing that the people in Jannah are going to say. Mm. They're going to say, they're the only people who are going to want to come back. Kimba. Like in Jannah, really. They see that, like, yo, this is Jannah. And then they're going to say, Allah, can't we just go back to say one subhanAllah? Yeah, because they can see what subhanAllah does.
Yeah, Rabbi.
You know?
Yeah,
Rabbi. I think it's important that we understand that one of the most obvious effects of Ramadan, like to see that your Ramadan has in fact done something, is based on how generous you are. This is not about how much you give.
Yes.
Don't make the mistake.
Mm-hmm.
It's about how generous you are. The Prophet ﷺ wasn't rich, right, in worldly wealth sense, but he was described as the most generous of people. Now, how does that work?
Mm.
Don't you have to be rich to be generous? Don't you have to be like a millionaire for you to genuinely be described as being generous? Mm. A billionaire maybe. Mm. But he wasn't. Mm. And yet he was the most generous. Mm. Which means that it is, again, it is a hal with inside. It is an attribute of generosity.
Yeah, subhanAllah.
That you must develop generosity within.
No.
That type of person who has that quality looks for opportunities to give.
Ya Rab.
To be, to serve.
Yeah, and giving is not... strictly linked to monetary donation.
No. That person will go volunteer. Mm-hmm. That person will ask, oh lady, can I help you? That person will go check with the neighbors if they're maybe fixing their car so that they can go help them fix it. That type of thing, man. Mm-hmm. That person who when they find out there's going to be a wedding or whatever, then they look
here,
I don't have anything, but I'm there. Mm. I'm going to be there. I'm going to be the first to arrive and the last to leave. I'm going to wash the plates and whatever.
Just let me know what we can do. That person.
Or that person that's going to open a studio and run a podcast with a Madaris that's struggling.
And get Allah nothing
Akbar.
In return.
Allahu Akbar.
not even a cup of booba. No.
I was going to join online, so I thought, if I come here, I'll get a cup of booba.
I think either of you are disappointed. He was hoping for you to bring you booba and you were hoping to get booba on the side.
Nah, I lost hope in you a long time ago. I didn't think you were going to bring me booba.
Yeah.
No, so what I'm getting to is that we should all try to develop that quality, man. Mm. It's got nothing to do with how much you have right now.
Yeah, and I'm thinking about the scenario where, you know, the Sahaba, we know how they used to compete, right? So the Sahaba's always competing in doing more good and being, you know, more close to Rasulullah and more close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the one instance that comes to mind is when, or the incident that comes to mind is with the day that Umar radiallahu anhu decides he's going to try and beat Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu in terms of his charity. And they all bringing the contributions towards this endeavor that the Muslims were planning and preparing for. And as Sayyidina Umar comes with what he brought, he looks at Sayyidina Abu Bakr and he realizes, ha, I got more today. And he's smiling and he's happy and he brings it. And, you know, Rasulullah obviously engages with him there. And he's happy because, look, today he beat Abu Bakr. And then the Prophet says, nope. Yes, what you have brought is more than what he has brought.
Mm-hmm.
But you brought half of what you have and Abu Bakr brought everything that he has.
Just 1 second, I need to cut in here. Ahmed and Mu'alima Fadwa, I want to read something to you guys, so just listen while I read it, right? It says, MashaAllah, may Allah grant success, and may all of the organizations involved and this program reach the set objectives, inshaAllah, watching all the way from within the Haram in Mecca.
Yeah.
We'll be making tawaf and dua after this for all of you, inshaAllah. May Allah accept from all of us, inshaAllah. May your efforts on this dunya be the cause that all of you and your families enter Jannah al-Firdaus without reckoning, inshallah.
Ameen.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh from Uncle Nabil.
Can I just come in there? I saw that message popping up, and you know, some days you're just on a high level of iman and you just feel like a malaika, and other days you just feel low. Alhamdulillah, today is one of those days that I just feel low. Alhamdulillah. And I saw that message, and so I want to ask the brother to make a special dua for me and my family.
It's Ahmed's father.
Subhanallah. Mm-hmm. And make a special dua for me. I've heard what Uncle Nabil has been through over the past few weeks or so. And please make a special dua. I'm in need of it today particularly, inshallah.
You can't hijack like that.
Sorry, man.
We all need the dua. You can hide. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah al-ali al-azim.
I think, Malay Sharif, if I can come in at this point.
No, man.
SubhanAllah.
Uncle Nabi, we all need the dua, canal. Not just for Uncle Nizamia, but I want to hear from the brother and sister in studio, Ahmed and Fadwa. This is your father making dua in the haram for your causes.
Malaysia, can you hear me? I'm
not sure if my sound. We can hear you, Malim Fadwa. Yes.
SubhanAllah, I also just needed a moment to just pull myself together, SubhanAllah. I think that if I, you know, on the topic of sadaqah being in different forms and so on, and giving what you are able to, if I think about one of the best kinds of sadaqah that I've witnessed over the years, it's the investment of time. And I'm mentioning this because I think it's something that is slowly slipping away, because I was blessed, alhamdulillah, my brother and I, we've got four more, so we four brothers and two sisters, alhamdulillah. The one thing that our parents gave us was time, you know, and I can't even explain to you the kind of time that was invested into us. I'm talking about, for example, my father working a 9-to-5 job, which he still does, but coming home, first thing, he puts his bag down, right, and he calls me and, you know, how was your day and everything. He says, right, bring me your Quran, because I was memorizing Quran at the time. And he says, okay, right, read to me the lesson that you read this morning, because he knew that the new lesson that you read on that day, it's the first to slip away, right? So if you can sort of like retain it for that day, then the backwork sort of falls into place much easier. And so he would come home with a chocolate, my favorite chocolate, and he would put it on the table. And he'd say, come read for me. And with every mistake you make, I take one bite of your chocolate, right? Motivation for me to always want to read without any mistakes. And of course, I took on the challenge, subhanAllah. And I would sit and I would read and always aiming to get the entire chocolate. And I was a child. And so he would come home, he would listen to me. And then, you know, we'd have supper and everything. And I would go over my work at night or whatever. And if I needed assistance during the evening, I would get my assistance in the evening. And then I would ask my dad and my mom, can you wake me up at 4 o'clock? I need to learn my work, right? Alhamdulillah, my Quran teacher was very strict. So it was like, know everything or just, you know, yeah.
Yeah, we spoke about him one night in the podcast.
Okay. So my father would wake me up at 4 o'clock and I would recite and learn my work for an hour, and then I would wake him at 5 o'clock, and then he would sit and listen to me until 6 o'clock, whether it's a juz or two ajz that I need to read out. So he would help me, sit with me, listen to me, and that would be until 6 o'clock, and then he would get ready for work, you know. So his sleep was disturbed, and I didn't even think about it, but now that I'm a parent, subhanAllah, and my sleep is disturbed by my little ones, I think back and I ask myself, you know, how did he do it? So when he needed to work, he needed to work. But when he came home and he had time, he invested that time, you know, in us, and specifically in relation to the Book of Allah, setting us up, not just in terms of dunya, but trying to set us up for success. I mean, you know, in the akhira, at least giving us the tools, you know.
And then we can... He did a brilliant job, I must say, mashallah.
I mean, ya Rabbil Alameen, I'll accept. Allah make us worthy.
And I now know where you get your competitive streak from. You were trying to get the chocolate.
SubhanAllah. In fact, I was telling about my mother, ya Rab. So my mother would also... She had this rule in the afternoons when I was still starting my journey. The rule was you would learn 2.5 lines. I had to memorize 2.5 lines. I was 7, 8 years old. And she said, you memorize 2.5 lines. And if you read it to me with no mistakes, you can go and play outside. So I would go to school, come back, and then memorize 2.5 lines. And as soon as I know it, then I could go and play outside with my friends and whatever. Mm. And so I would always come in and read 2.5 lines, no mistakes. 2.5 lines, no mistakes. And eventually, alhamdulillah, I was able to memorize 3 lines, 4 lines a day, 5 lines a day. And I was at the point where I was learning, memorizing maybe a page a day. And my mother would continue to sit with me, again, the sadaqah of time, right? Yes, she would always sit with me. When my father wasn't at home, then she would ensure that she was 100% invested in us as children, and that she was giving her time to us. And
SubhanAllah.
So then what happened?
So you memorized Quran by playing outside?
Yes, but wait, I'm going to tell you the best part, man. I'll tell you the best part. The best part, my motivation was playing outside in chocolate, to be honest. But I'll tell you the best part about it, Molina. When I was, when I reached a point where I was memorizing a page a day, and this was a few years later, 3-4 years later, and then my mother would, again, she would listen to me. And the rule was, if you make one mistake, you can't go outside. And so she's listening and she's holding the Quran up in front of her like this. And, you know, as you're memorizing, you're picturing the ayat and you know when you're on the next page. And then she's following and she's following and she's following. And then I realized I'm on the next page. And I said, okay, mom, you're supposed to turn the page, right? And she said, don't worry about me. You just carry on. And I watched her and I just noticed that she wasn't looking where I was reading. She's holding the mushaf up, but I knew where the ayat were, and she wasn't looking there. And I found out later on that the reason for that rule was because had I made a mistake, she wouldn't have been able to pick it up. I found out later on that she wasn't able to recite Quran. Today she's my student trying to learn Quran.
SubhanAllah. How can you not tell us a story like that, man? Yeah, salam.
So, subhanAllah. So the time, you know, I think...
Nah, man, Ma'alima, man, you just can't tell a story like that and just want to continue from there. It doesn't work like that.
Allahu Akbar.
Yeah, salam. Yo. Ahmed Bibru, you need to go to your mommy and kiss her feet.
No, we all do, Marana. Not just Ahmad, we all do. All of us.
Oh, that is, that's incredible, man. SubhanAllah.
You know, no. I'm thinking now, as Marlene was talking and stuff, I was thinking as a parent, that must almost made you moog, man. It must have almost made you klaar one time. Like, you just think about the level of effort, yeah, as you're saying, right? And she was the first child of 6, and then I'm 3rd in line, and there was no less effort when it came to my time.
Aji.
That same story, that same. My daddy waking me up at 3 o'clock, and then I'm 3, and then go wake him up when I think I know it, and then he's gonna check, mark the mistakes. And he's gonna go sleep again, and then when I'm ready again, then I must wake him up again. And you know, if I think of that, I didn't know that time that that's what he was doing for my sister before and my sister before. And my brother after me will tell you a similar thing, and then my brother after him will say a similar thing. And for me, you know, you asked my dad to make dua for you and stuff. That I was thinking that we're sitting here and we're talking about serving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's deen and making time to impact the ummah, yeah, my parents just spend time with us and ensuring that we're doing what we're doing. And today, Qawmat Institute is standing with
Allah.
How many mothers to learn Quran, and it stems back to a mother who couldn't even read Quran.
Allahu Akbar.
So we ask, if may not be my dua, is ask Allah to continue to use us to serve Deen. Like, they just raised their children, but look at the service to Deen. I'm not talking about what I'm doing or anything like that. I'm just saying, like, how many ladies are coming in the Madaris and benefiting? And my mommy, she said my mommy is a student amongst many other ladies that were sitting there learning, because of the time that they invested in, the resources that they invested in us in. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us to serve Deen.
Ameen.
Ameen, ameen.
And there's a hadith that really sits with me. We said,
you guys are how many kids now again?
Six.
And how many of you are Huffaz?
One,
everyone. Two still busy though. But yes, four completed and two is still busy.
MashaAllah. MashaAllah.
The one completed 9 and the other one is on 20. I think 21.
I know for you guys it's like a personal story, no? Like, I mean, it's your parents and you're involved and stuff. But I want to take the opportunity to just share the lesson of the Ummah, myself included, because I'm a parent. I have a 4-year-old daughter, Tazkia. I must want the best for her, obviously. We all want the best for our kids. And it's hard.
Yeah.
And you say, you know what I'm talking about? It's tough.
I've got this thought, Mona. So, myself and Mona Irshad presented a course called Raising Leaders last year. It was a parenting course.
Mm.
And in the last 10 minutes, I've realized that I'm far from worthy of having presented such a course.
Hmm.
May Allah bless your parents. May Allah bless all of our parents.
Ameen.
And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow for us to be
something like that. Ameen. That's my thing. So it's so tough. And they did it even before technology that we have at our disposal today. That's important also to note, because it takes more effort. It takes more time. Subhanallah, so may Allah reward your parents and my parents and our parents, because the lesson that I want to bring across to you today, my dear viewers, is that you need to be that if you want that, man. It's not like they didn't raise the likes of Mu'alima, Fadwa, Solomon and Hafidh Ahmad Solomon and their siblings. They didn't come from like hopes and dreams, you know, and steam making his home madrasa too, and you know, and that type of thing. They were raised with an Islamic consciousness, and these are the fruits. MashaAllah, Allah increase and you know, my father, rahimahullah. Just to give you an idea, my father had arthritis, and arthritis affected him the most when he woke up in the morning, right? So that time in the morning when it's cold, Fajr time, then it's difficult for him to get out of bed and move around, right? Now, I got my first imamat post when I was in my 3rd year of study. And then my father would come wake me up for Fajr so that I can be at the masjid. So he would come wake me up for Fajr, then go wait for me in the car. Some mornings then I fall asleep again. Then he's sitting and waiting for me in the car. Like that level of sacrifice. And he was in pain.
And he struggled to get out of there.
So if you want that, if you want the results of the likes of these brothers and sisters, then you must make a little bit of effort in that regard as a parent. Like, the major decisions are important decisions, you know, like the major ones. I can't for the life of me understand how parents are sending their lighties to these crazy schools with, as I like to say, with where they come home with more than just an education,
ya Rab,
with an accent and the rolling R's and the akida that goes with it.
Ajib.
But anyway, that's another topic for another time.
Just a thought that came to my mind now. Allah always gives you what you want.
No.
So we've been speaking about during the parenting workshop we ran last year.
Yeah, yeah.
We spoke about, let's have a podcast
about parenting.
Then Mona told me, Ahmed also wants to be a part of it, man.
Yes, and then I said I want Mu'allima Fadwa to be a part of it because she does the Raising Leaders thing.
Yeah. And now the four of us are sitting
in a podcast.
About.
Can you see? Akbar. You had to listen to me long ago.
Allahu Akbar.
And you invited me for some podcast. I never got around to going.
Yeah, we never got around to starting.
Subhanallah. But anyway, so Mu'allima Fadwa, back over to you. Tell us how the Ummah can help and be part of this amazing venture. We'd like to hear that from you, inshallah. Bismillah.
Subhanallah. So firstly, Malaysia,
That was a blind move, by the way, no? Like, you come onto the podcast first time, and then you bring, like, that kind of story. I mean, that's not fair.
I highly unplanned, brother. I completely did not plan that.
Like, I was like, yo, my bro, how am I not supposed to cry for that? Yeah, that's next level insane. It makes your heart melt. Like, if I can't kiss your mom because she's your mom, but I mean, I feel like I want to go kiss your mommy and give her like a giant hug. Subhanallah. Allah bless them and grant us a little bit of that, man.
I mean.
You know, too, just before Mu'allima, just before you go to this project and you know how people can help, and I just let the message go out there to all of our youth, man. One of the projects you hear here is youth mastery, and we're teaching the youth the importance of having that connection with their parents, no matter what they see it as. And I just want to tell our youth out there, man. Like, honor your parents, man. I don't care. I really don't care what they're doing. You never, ever, ever have the right to lose respect and dishonor your parents. No matter what.
Sahih, my bro.
Wallahi, I don't care what. I've heard all the excuses. I'm working with youth for more than a decade. Bring me any youngster, I challenge you to bring me an excuse you think I never heard before. You have no right, wallahi, no right ever to disrespect your parents, or to dishonor your parents, or to mistreat your parents. And you're only shooting yourself in the foot. You're digging your own grave if you're not serving your parents. If you're not serving your parents, wallahi, you're missing out and you are potentially putting your akhirah at stake.
Allahu Akbar. Nah, that's true, no? That's true. Plus, if we're going to hear about it, if your parents are going to phone us about it,
yeah, no.
Then you're going to see. No, shukran for that, Sayyidi Ahmed. That is an important message there. We all echo that sentiment. And the parents.
Let me get easy, man.
I mean, I think also what stands out to me about just reflecting on the sadaqah, the investment of time, you know, that my parents gave us. What really stands out is that my father never had wealth. So we grew up with just about, you could say, nothing. Although we had a roof over our heads, alhamdulillah, we had something to eat. Although we never ever had a choice, we had like a standard toast with nothing on for lunch every single day. Okay, butter was there, maybe some peanut butter, alhamdulillah. So there was so little in the house, but it was always Quran, you know. And if I just reflect back, you'll find that I find that my father, although he never had money, he never had wealth to spend on us, he took what he did have and he spent that on us. So number one, he had time. He always gave us time, each of us. We were a lot of kids, a lot to deal with. But he gave each of us time. He sat with us, made our tarbiyah, you know, assisted us with our Quran journeys, whatever we pretty much needed assistance with. I remember when my brothers were into soccer. My father was playing soccer.
Look at if your father had no other accolades, besides raising him, then that's enough for me to say respect.
Yeah, I was going to say, when she said, now whatever else we need, I was thinking like, yeah, Yo, you don't even want to know. Subhanallah.
Sometimes you need to fuck.
Yo, I got picked up out of the office. I got picked up at the police station. I got picked up.
La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Look, let's leave the past in the past, kan Allah. It's a family show.
Subhanallah.
Hey, I might share a story with Ahmed later.
And I know the one high school story of Ahmed. I know that story. And he was a teacher there, so I'm sure it's probably that. But look, I asked the question first and then you interrupted. Sorry. Even in other people's podcasts, you do that. That's not fair. I asked Ma'alim Afadwa to tell us how we can assist.
Bismillah.
Can you now?
Okay. Okay, khair. No problem.
Shukran. Bismillah, Ma'alim.
Okay, khair. Bismillah. So, what I was trying to get at was the fact that even though there wasn't the finances at the time, you know, whatever else could be done was done, you know, just to support us along this journey, you know. And subhanAllah, today we are here because we have a need. But I'd like everyone to understand that not everyone is able to support in the same way. You know, whatever your ability is, you know, come forward with that, inshallah. The need currently, however, is, to be very clear, it's actually financial. You know, we love doing what we do, and we love to always share the success story, subhanAllah. But not too long ago, when I was speaking to a project manager, actually, with regard to some of the struggles that Qawr Institute faces, what was said in that meeting was, why do you only voice the successes? Why don't you voice the struggles as well? And I sat there, subhanAllah, I was actually dumbstruck, and I didn't realize that I never ever before, and our institution is running for 13 years this year, alhamdulillah. We've completed 10 khatams of Quran, 10 classes of women went through the entire Quran with understanding on a part-time basis with us, subhanAllah. And through all of this time, not once did I actually mention the struggles that our madrasa faces to be able to do this, you know.
Mabruk on all of that, that's like mabruk. Alf Mabruk, Allah reward you and accept. That's like a massive accomplishment, mashallah.
Subhanallah. The reality,
shukran, on behalf of the community also, shukran. It deserves a big shukran.
Oh, subhanallah. No, just du'as for us. Keep us in the du'as, inshallah. So for the first time, you know, and Allah reward this team of brothers that I was actually sitting with, mashallah, trying to assist us during our difficulty. What they spoke to me about was the importance of voicing the struggles. He said that there are people out there who want to be a part of the success of the institution, you know, and you don't know who is able to come forward and help that school, help the school just get from that one point to the next point, you know. And subhanAllah, those words really got me thinking. And just once again, to be clear this evening, you know, I'm voicing the struggle. We are six organizations that have come together because we have a common struggle. You know, the reality on the ground is that finances are needed to be able to serve and try and achieve what we are trying to achieve, inshallah. So in terms of people coming on board, number one is financial. We really do need that. But as I mentioned previously, it's not always the same for everyone. You know, if there's someone who can give us a 5.7 million, bismillah, you know. But then there's someone who can maybe only give a 500 rand, you know, or a 50 rand, or whatever the amount may be. The idea is to come forth and support in whichever way you are able to, inshallah, you know. And even if it isn't financial, maybe to contact us, make contacts with us and find out on the ground, you know, what other assistance is needed to really be a part of, inshallah, every institution's growth and success from this Ramadan, at least, inshallah, to the next Ramadan in one way or another, inshallah.
You spoke about like understanding the struggle. No? There's something I must share with everybody. Man. We were once running another fundraising campaign at the time when I was still working with Mullah Muhammad at the Nehru Youth Foundation. And we were at the different masajid. So, you know, at certain masajid, there's people that stand outside of the mosque, right? And you know, when people come outside and they maybe give them and whatever it may be. So there's a table up outside the masjid, obviously, for information, if donors want to know, whatever it may be. So people are coming to the table as they're leaving the masjid, and we're telling them about what it's about and whatever it may be. Mm. So there's a lady standing there, but she's standing with the kids, and they're asking, you know, and the people are coming and they're giving and assisting and whatever it may be. And we're explaining, and this lady, after a while, she turns, and I'm explaining to people. Now, obviously, as you're telling them, you're saying, look, yeah, this is what it's about, this is the challenge, and this is the reward involved, and this, that, and the other. And eventually, everybody goes, and then we must pack up, because we lost there, everybody's out already, and we start to pack up. And this lady comes to me, that was standing there, and she comes to me, and she gives a 12.50. And she tells me, Allah het vir my gegee vandag. En ek wil ook gee. And it broke me completely. She said, ek weet is niks. Maar Allah weet wat ek het. And it just hit me like, Allah knows our capacity, man. And Mualim, I'm voicing now, like, our target for the campaign is 5.7 million rand. Right? And that's to serve 6 organizations from this Ramadan till the next. And TTR Padri campaign, after the support of the community, can come a year later and say, look at what you've done, man. Like you mentioned earlier, for Mualima, that's a milestone they've reached. I'm also going to congratulate everybody who supported that institution, because that's a milestone for Ummah.
Mm.
That so many women are being empowered through the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on a continuous basis, man. So as a ummah, we're accomplishing a lot, man. When people are coming together, when we are assisting one another, from the smallest contributions to the biggest, and we're appealing to everybody to give according to your capacity that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has facilitated for you, man.
Mm.
And yeah, Rob, you know, may Allah make it a success.
I mean. Mualima Fadwa, I'm gonna ask you for your last words, inshallah, and then we don't have to keep any longer. And again, Alf Mabruk, look here, now that I have a daughter, I take my hat off to mothers across the board, right? Across the board. But then, mothers who care, like care enough to not make the phone the mother. Or care enough not to make YouTube the mother. Or care enough not to make the TV the mother. Or the nanny the mother. Those mothers, man.
You took your kufiya off the name. Not just take your hat off.
And if I had a wig on, I would have taken that off also.
Yeah, no.
And then I go a step further. The mothers who managed to do that and run the entire household and still work for their families, yeah, on top of it.
Yeah, Rob.
Yo.
Yeah, Rob. Look at you.
That's
know,
next
many,
level. That's like,
Wallahina, that's and like Wallahina,
Avengers can go sleep type
and,
of thing.
And I think it's important you mention that, man. The biggest people, the biggest.
But wait, I'm saying that because I want the mother to be able to go to her kids, and now you're going to.
Oh, okay.
Can I just.
Oh, yeah, I'll.
Shukran so much. You're awesome. Allah bless you. Accept Amen. You. Keep you sincere and humble and Amen. Keep using you for His deen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
You said she said last words.
Oh, didn't Maaf.
You just spoke.
It's him. yeah, your last words of encouragement before we let you go.
SubhanAllah. I think that since we are on the topic of motherhood, I would say that obviously we are here this evening because, you know, all 6 of our institutions have a need, right? I would say that... If there's anyone there who was maybe inspired by anything that was spoken about, you know, make a sincere intention to achieve with your children, to achieve with your families, you know, for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and begin that with a sadaqah. It is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves, and you give it sincerely with the intention and the niyyah and the dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants you everything that you need in your life to be able to become a better version of yourself, inshallah, because times are really tough, and it's actually getting worse. It's steadily, you know, becoming worse. And the challenges that our kids are facing, subhanAllah, more than ever before, I could say that they need really strong moms and dads, you know, around them to keep them grounded and to keep them on the path, to show them the path, to keep them on the path, subhanAllah. And something beautiful that I would like to recommend is that if you just look at the opportunity, which the Nizam also mentioned earlier in the show, you know, it isn't always that we have the opportunity to give a donation, and it's being used in six different ways, you know, whether it's upskilling a mother, seeing to the needs of an orphan or vulnerable child, facilitating studies of deen for someone, or whatever the case may be. To make a sadaqah with the intention that, you know, whatever rewards may come your way, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants that to your children. You know, because if you look at how we raise our children and the mindsets of parents generally these days, we always want to leave behind like a house for them, or for each one their own house for some parents, if they can, mashallah. Or as soon as they're old enough, we want to make sure that they don't only have their driver's license, but you want to leave them with their own cars. And each one has got this and that. And it's really, it's all material things, you know, which is good. And may Allah grant us the ability to set all our kids up in this dunya very comfortably. Just imagine the idea of setting them up in the akhirah as well. You know, when you make a donation and the niyyah is, ya Allah, that any rewards that may come from this, give it to my son, so that whatever good he does in his life, when he reaches the day of Qiyamah, he'll see like a mountain of extra rewards, inshallah, that will be a gift from me. You know, so in other words, what I'm saying is, let us use this opportunity to not just do and set our children up for the dunya, but let's see what else we can do to try and set them up and leave things for them for the akhirah as well, inshallah. Yeah. Yeah. Barakallah, Marina Irshad. I really appreciate the opportunity.
It's a pleasure.
And,
I'm also going to leave you with this thought. Now, Mufti Kamaluddin told us, he says, like, parents always worry about what's going to happen to our children after we die. But hardly anybody thinks about what's going to happen to my children after they die.
Yes.
Yeah, Rabbi.
You know? Yes. Subhanallah.
Anyway, take care. Keep us in your du'as, please. Like, really, my name is Irshad. And this is Isnad Academy.
You know, your wife is very dear to me, and we've been on the phone. I don't know if she even told you, but we are in touch, and we talk about tazkiyah often, and whatever the case may be. So, you and your family are in my du'as. Alhamdulillah.
Shukran.
I think the parenting podcast is on the cards, no?
Inshallah. Inshallah. Take care. Assalamu alaikum warahmatullah. Sorry, Ahmed, we hand it back over to you after I tell you that your father just told me he's going to the mataf now. He's going to make tawaf now to carry out the du'as for all the organizations and for me and for my family. Isam? Yeah? For me and for my family. And that your program caused many to change their lives.
Ameen.
The path that Allah wants and prefers. Ameen. Continue the excellent work. May Allah accept my broken efforts. He says, subhanAllah. Now you can speak, Ahmed.
Yeah, subhanAllah, I mean, I want to speak to our viewers a little bit, man, that, you know, there's a lot you're going to do if you make this contribution, man. And I'm thinking about, we're talking about the struggle of parenting, and we're speaking about, you know, being inspired by parenting. And the important thing is that people are struggling. And if you just take parenting and you center everything from that perspective, we're talking about, yeah, you assisting parents becoming upskilled. The Jannah training program is doing amazing things. I'm using some of that toolkit. Some of the items in that toolkit for my own parenting, alhamdulillah. You know, so many have benefited from that. Then there's the parents that are attending the stuff that's happening at Fusion, and the couples that are even there coming together, and even yourself, Munna, being of benefit to them in that regard. So there's parents there that are learning how they need to, you know, level themselves up to be able to level up the generation to come. Then there's the parents who really can't, and this is the point I wanted to mention earlier, like you took a hat off for all of those mothers, right? And you mentioned the different levels of struggle. Wallahi, there's so much mothers. The biggest, when we actually did a study, no, for marketing, for one of our marketing campaigns, then we did research on who are the people most likely to attend the youth mastery programs, right? And what it came down to was single mothers that are working and trying to put a roof over their head for the kids and still trying to raise those kids, and they want the best for those kids in this world and thereafter. And wallahi, that's the truth. If I must tell you how many mothers who are either divorced or the father passed away or whatever, but it's a Muslim sister that's struggling with a child, even non-Muslim, just women struggling to raise their children, man, that are coming forward saying, help me with my child. And, you know, the organizations such as Fusion Inyamiko Foundation and Youth Mastery and TTR, they're working with these kids, man. And then you look at it from a perspective of those kids who don't even have that mother and father. And then you look at the programs that's happening at Fusion and you see how they go fetch them at their homes and pick them up in a taxi in an overpark, Manenberg, wherever, bring them to a workshop where they now meet up with Youth Mastery and they're getting life coaching, they're getting tuition, they're getting a meal, and then they're getting from the tech. Then on top of it, Fusion is making sure they have stationery also, they have school clothes, they have food in the house so they can actually focus on the school. It's like,
look here, I'm valuing my friendship with him while I can.
Subhanallah.
Because I don't know how much longer he's not going to be in a psychiatric ward. Because the rate that he and his wife is going at.
That's inspirational.
It's insane.
Ya Rab.
It's like incredible.
Mashallah. Except, you
guys must take it easy.
Inshallah. After Ramadan.
Yes, Allah.
I want to touch on something that Maulima Fadwa said and something that Ahmed is alluding to now. That we should speak about our successes, but also speak about our struggles, man.
Yeah.
So Ahmed is speaking about this particular project where Fusion and Youth Mastery has collaborated. So Alhamdulillah, we have about 60 kids from Bontierville, Manenberg, and Hanover Park that, as he says, we pass in every Thursday. And we give them a meal, and we've then Youth Mastery takes over. They give them academic support, and they give them life coaching. So that's the success of it. The struggle of this, and Ahmed sitting there, is that we didn't receive one single rand of funding yet. But we're still continuing. So I'm saying to every viewer that's watching, we're going to continue this journey, inshallah. It is really an opportunity for you to come on board. And the support that we need at this moment, as Mu'alima correctly says, it's a financial support, man. We're running with a program, alhamdulillah, only Allah knows. Like, the books doesn't balance because there's no money coming in. There's expenses on the project. But alhamdulillah, man, Allah facilitates. And we didn't. And we had a discussion. We're not going to wait until the funder comes and say, okay, now we run the project. Let's run the project. Inshallah, the funding will come. And so tonight, I'm sure someone will be inspired to say, you know what, 550 and a kid, 60 kids, I'll sponsor all 60 of them. And then we can really... work a bit less, man. You understand? Our busyness is because we want to do the project, but separately we need to fund that project and then have to run around for fundraising and all of these things. Mm. So we're moving with it, inshallah, and we're inviting you to be a part of it.
So one of the important impacts you're going to have when you donate to any organization,
I meant to tell you all night, really, now, but I'm going to take the opportunity to tell you now. You look good on camera.
Shukran for the compliment.
When you speak now, I don't look at you, I look at you on the screen.
Oh, Ajib.
I'm just joking.
You have quiet cameras, man. I don't know what the lens is doing here. But, what I mentioned now is that it's Nair Academy, right? Yes. Every time I come in here, look at Wallahi Lazim. And Maulana didn't ask me to do this. And we're not paying Maulana to be here. And he didn't ask us to say anything here. We just told him, Maulana, here's something happening. You must give us a shot on the show. And we're going to do this thing and whatever it may be. But Wallahi, every single time I come in here, every single time, there's an improvement. Wallahi. And you all know how regularly I am here. I'm not even exaggerating. Every time I look, today I said, Maulana, I don't even know if I can see you anymore through all the stuff here. There's a screen, there's this. But what am I alluding to, man? Look at now what's happening. Now we're able to stream a good quality product to people from wherever in the world that's going to hear the plight of all the, and I know you guys were doing feeding the other day and you were talking about the projects your brother them is doing and whatever it may be. Wallahi, just contribute. We're talking to the people now that have something in their pocket. That's what Allah gave you, man. Now, there's a very powerful thing that's going to happen when you contribute. When you contribute and you have resources, then what Allah's given you, you're giving to the ummah. If you look at our asatidah, our teachers, Allah's given them knowledge. Allah's given them the Quran. Allah's given them a hadith. So what are they doing? They're giving that to the community. Now, you maybe went to venture off and you studied and you, whatever it may be, and you chose a certain occupation or you started running certain business, whatever it may be. And your strength that Allah's given you, your ability to contribute that Allah's put in your life is wealth. Then use that in the service of deen. Contribute, because now what happens? When those who have the resource of funds, and those who have the resource of knowledge teach, then those who have the resource of knowledge cannot worry about the resource of funding and teach on a much higher level. And those who have the resource of funding don't have to worry about trying to teach, and they can fund on a whole other level.
I remember he did it again.
What did I do?
He did that whole...
Oh, that's what I did the other night.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, I know it's late tonight, so sometimes you can't follow me, but...
It is 20 to 12.
But the viewers have paused. They can rewind and they can kind of, you know, if anybody was like, you know, missed
Fair
it.
Enough.
But I think Nizam caught
it. We got it.
Yeah, we all got it, but still, it's late.
Yeah, I mean...
But it's powerful.
I like how things come together.
Although it's powerful.
I was telling Nizam the other day, when we set our targets for this Ahlul Badr, so we sat down and we said, look here, man, the target, we must be clear. Don't be shy to say what the target is.
He's on full volume now, no?
Yeah, man. Don't be shy what the target is. We put the target out there.
Yeah.
We put the target out there because if we hit the target...
You bang for your titi.
Alhamdulillah. If we hit the target, right, then the organizations must have the ability to just continue to do what they do on a higher level, man. And this is what came about when Mu'alima Fadwa spoke earlier. She's like, we know how to teach Quran to the ladies. We came up with a system. It's been working for the last 13 years, but we don't know how to fundraise. Now, why must they go learn how to fundraise? Why don't they just say, look here, this is what we're doing as a gap. How do we fill that gap? Collaboration, working together. Now we plug that gap. What happens now? Comrade, for the rest of the year from now till next Ramadan, all they do is pump their energy, time, all into it. And when Nizam say, you know, if you're going to contribute, then, you know, we're going to be able to work a bit less. That's like work a bit less in the areas that is not necessarily our expertise. But when we can work more and channel it towards the area of our expertise, which is benefiting people, youth, families. You know what's happening at Project Ma'ida, how the people are being assisted, not it's just only in Ramadan. It's sustaining people. Year. SubhanAllah, you're putting food on the table throughout the year.
Yeah.
So these organizations then get the ability to focus and to channel their energies and time towards delivering a level of excellence in those projects and in those services to mankind.
Mashallah.
And you know, I will conclude with a hadith from my side. I don't even know if we are concluding that.
How can you just hijack the program and somehow want to conclude? No, wait. I'm taking you off. Okay. Nizam, back to you.
He's always going to conclude like that point.
No.
I think it's a matter of khutbah.
Your titi's just gone. Like, she's not even complete. I think she might even still be in the back room. And
I must be having you.
And your daddy's also watching. La hawla.
There is no ask for forgiveness for me.
Subhanallah. My point again, I want to reiterate, is that you can invest. You don't have to be the mom that can do everything. You don't have to be the dad that can do everything. You don't have to be the teacher of the Quran and the person who makes sure all six of your kids. Yes, I know, that's a lot of kids. Hafiz. And, you know, you don't have to be all of that. You could just be that super good Muslim businessman, businesswoman, or just a simple worker that works for the company. But you are able to reap all of those rewards with a monetary contribution. I've got stuff coming off my account on a monthly basis. Wallahi al-Azim. I'm like, what is this? Like, then it's an internet account. Then it's an MTN. It's a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how much is your MTN account? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Your Vodacom account, your cell phone account alone, right? And what is that? Just so that we can have a quiet toy to play with.
Mm-hmm.
Take a couple of photos. And use the basic functionalities of hello and goodbye. Yeah. But we're willing to pay like $2,000 for that.
Mm.
You understand what I'm saying? You can spend 50 rand a month, 100 rand a month. And like Mu'alima Fadwa was saying with the Darul Naim venture, you can be reaping in rewards without even realizing that that's happening. But you are part of the success. You're part of the story. You're part of the growth. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam's generosity was described as a what? As a rain bringing wind, specifically. Because the rain, what does it do? The rain causes the plants to grow. And then the plants, you know what I mean? Then the whole earth becomes alive again, because that's the nature of charity. That's the nature of generosity. And that's specifically the generosity of Ramadan. That's specific. So in light of that, I did not at all have list to do this podcast tonight.
You made it,
you made it clear to us at the top.
I'm tired. It's the last 10 nights. I have enough on my plate. I just wanted to spend time at the masjid with the brothers in Etikaf, and you know. But I know these guys. They are my personal friends. I work with Fusion in Jamaica Foundation at the afternoon madrasa. So I know what they're doing, and I can vouch for them. So it's no problem for me to say, look here, guys, this is the least I can do. Bismillah. You know, I'm not saying this because I'm looking for thanks. I'm saying this because I can defeat my own demons to make something happen. So can you, man. It's just, let's dig in. Even if you've given to 10, 20 other organizations already as Ramadan, dig deep, inshallah, and contribute. I believe you guys are doing a... Because this is not big enough for you. So you're doing a grand pledge line.
Two,
yeah. Another two of them.
Can you not see?
Inshallah. But I just want to say, we're speaking about financial contribution, and wallahi, there's a place for that. And there's a big need for that. But some of you watching, you've got a different set of skills. You might have 5,000 followers on TikTok or Facebook or Insta, whatever. So you can use, or you might just have influence in your workspace. It doesn't have to be online influence. You can utilize that influence to influence others to contribute to the fund.
Mm.
And then for every person that you inspire or encourage to contribute towards this particular campaign, you get the rewards without having to spend the rand.
Yeah.
And this is Allah, man.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you know,
I want to add one more thing, Ahmed, before you conclude. I want to say that, you know, you and your family, or you and your wife or your husband, whoever you are, you can either have one or the other, not both. So let me just make that abundantly clear. You might be thinking, like, there's so many organizations, so much good to do, you know. Here's a good opportunity to get on board with six.
Six organizations.
Just so you know, Isnad Academy is not one of them. Same on it. But six organizations.
Yeah, that crickets.
yeah. I think it's important because I want people to also know that I'm not pushing for my own thing. None of the fundraisings that we did. I might be involved as like a...
in your personal capacity.
Yeah, or like, what do they call this thing? It's like a sort of a celebrity.
Ambassador.
That thing. Mm. I might be that, but not. I'm not getting anything from this. I really want to see these guys win, because if they win, my city wins, my ummah wins, my people win. There's going to be children in the masjid, there's going to be musallis in 10 years' time, there's going to be people understanding Quran, there's going to be kids who have led homes in the past, but they are now, you know, buzzing contributors to society. There's going to be people with Qurans. Non-Muslims are going to be receiving translation Qurans, because that's part of what I'm funding. There's going to be food on people's on people's labaring tables. Project Ma'ida, there's going to be lighties bachang Quran every day. They're going to be memorizing it. They're going to be bachang for the rest of their lives and teach other hifd lighties potentially. So that water that comes down, it makes all of that grow. So if I can get the 2%, 2.5% of that with my 20 rand, 25 rand, 50 rand, I want... Right? We should all want.
Subhanallah. And we must even try to grab all of it, man.
Mm.
Like, you know, Nizam made that, alluded to that one brother that's going to, or sister that's going to give the whole 5.7 million. We must actually strive to be that, man. Strive to say, yo, that, I want to grab all of it.
Mm.
And, you know, we had the discussion. We said, look, what happens if we exceed the target, man? And we already started to say, right, this is how we're going to do. This is where the extra and over and above would channel to, and how we can be of support to further organizations. Mm-hmm. And we've spoken about other collaborations that we started to plan for to be able to continue sharing this. And wallahi, We're campaigning hard for this 5.7 million. But wallahi, the objective of this campaign, I believe, was already achieved when we could have six organizations come together and say, look here, let's all help each other succeed. Wallahi, there's Nizam sitting opposite me. While my father was on, the other parties are all watching. There was already times where we see lines are crossing, this, that, and the other. Then all we do, we come together. We are the lines that's crossing. How do we untangle it? Mm. What's the way forward? But we're not quitting on one another. And subhanAllah, that's the legacy of our ummah, man. The legacy of our ummah is that they stood together unconditionally. And that's when Islam moved forward. You know, Mullah Muhammad always used to say that every success of our ummah came off the back of unity. And every time the ummah fell was off the back of disunity. So one of the strong factors of this campaign is to give that message of unity and to show it and to role model it. And when you make your contribution, you're contributing to solidifying unity back into our ummah.
Mm-hmm.
And through that, because even our organizations working together, we're already talking about how the skill sets that our youth are now learning, they can benefit from a broader set of skills, because now outside of TTR, there's Youth Mastery, the Fusions, leadership programs. Our kids can benefit from all of these things. And then over and above that, the product we put back into society is going to be a product on a whole other level. So from my side, Mona, if I can actually conclude before you tell me, then you told me to conclude, then I don't conclude. But then when I want to conclude, then you didn't let me conclude.
Are you doing it again?
No, he's on a high level at 10 to 12. No?
Are you doing it again? but you mustn't have coffee at Phuket time.
No, I actually never had coffee.
No, you're lying.
Qasam Allah, I never had coffee.
Nah, lie.
The coffee wasn't have you.
You didn't have coffee. And you look like that. Now, at this time,
but
can I will make extra dua for you? Listen, on a serious note, we need to wrap up. Your last words of encouragement to our viewership. Oh, yes, and the banking details that's on the screen now is for Isnad Academy, which I now and then throw on towards the end of Ramadan. So if you would like to support this platform as well, that's how you can contribute. But I will go back to the blanking the banking details at the end again, inshallah. It's been on for the whole time. I'll go back to it at the end. Bismillah.
I want to echo what Ahmad just said now. There's a couple of objectives with this collaboration, but there are two key ones. The first objective is to show unity. And that's a big thing. Ahmad always tells us there's too many people speaking about working together, but too few people actually doing it. Mm. Alhamdulillah, we're collaborating on so many. We don't even realize on how many projects we are collaborating.
Mm.
We currently have the Iftar and Taraweeh program at Maker's Landing every Friday night and Saturday night. A G program. You can join us next week Friday, next week Saturday, inshallah. Saturday will be a big buzz, a market, and dressing some orphans, and come through and check that out. But Ahmad is leading the Taraweeh program there. And that's not even like a official collaboration. It's just how we do, man.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of synergy within the organizations and how we do. So the show of unity is super important. And we want to be that group that leads by example, inshallah. So it can have a ripple effect on the rest of our community.
Amen.
And the second target or the second objective is obviously the financial one, for us to reach the target of 5.7 million. And you can do that by assisting us, by making monetary contributions, by being ambassadors for the project, by being our mouthpieces and telling people at work and telling your friends and sending the poster into the family chat and wherever else to encourage people, particularly in these last days of Ramadan, to encourage them to contribute. But most importantly, we are asking you to make dua for our success, to make dua for each and every organization and our families, because our families are kind of just part of how we run, man. Alhamdulillah.
Taib. Jazakumullah khairan, guys. Allah bless, accept, and multiply, and place khair and barakah, and accept. I said that already, and grant sincerity to your venture. Those are the contact details. It's on screen now. Email, website, cell phone number. Those are the banking details for Ahlul Badr.
Can I just say something, Mullah?
No.
You came in and you said you were going to have a pledge, and then I, or both of us, rudely interrupted. We're going to have two. So just to maybe give our viewers this information. We'll have one on the 27th night, inshallah. Okay. And that will be online. That is on the TTR Facebook page and on the Comer
YouTube.
So tune in. It will be 1 hour before Buka time, inshallah, on the 26th day. And then the 27th night will be after Tarawih for another hour and a half, inshallah. And then on Saturday will be our big one on ITV, channel 347. Ahlul Badr will be having our pledge line, inshallah. And then again, we would like you to encourage others to pledge. And you also, on behalf of your family, as Maulima Fadwa said, make a contribution and pledge towards the Ahlul Badr campaign, inshallah.
I mean,
can I conclude?
Again, like, actually, yeah, you can. This is the third time you're concluding.
I spoke about conclusion, but I never concluded.
I mean, I conclude.
So
I hope you're going to conclude with a conclusion.
Yeah. No, I just wanted to say the real strength that I've seen, and alhamdulillah, having run the Badr campaign from last year till now, and then seeing this next step, I can tell everyone with full confidence, the strength of this campaign is people bringing people.
Mm.
It's something you actually shared with me, like in passing. I don't even know if you remember, but I already rewarded you for it. And it's a concept we grabbed. We said every year we're just gonna keep telling people. Now you grab you. We grabbed our friends and family. That's all we did. Whoever we had on our phones and our Instagram and our Facebook, we grabbed them and we said, "Look here, you our people, and together as a people, we're gonna take the Ummah forward." So we're telling you now to grab your friends and family, bring them along, let them watch the show. It's the 27th night, so if it's possibly Laylatul Qadr, you share in that reward as well, inshallah ta'ala. And then also the 29th night on ITV. So bring your people, because we are all one people in essence. We're the people of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The hadith I wanted to mention earlier is أَحَبُّ النَّاسِ إِلَى اللَّهِ تَعَالَى أَنْفَعُهُمْ لِلنَّاسِ, that the most beloved of people to Allah are those who are the most beneficial to others, the most beneficial to mankind. So you can be of benefit to mankind by sharing this, by getting people involved, by donating. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from us all. Wa akhir da'wan alhamdulillah rabbil alameen.
Dua.
الفاتحة. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين, والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه الطاهرين. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم, وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار, وأدخلنا الجنة مع الأبرار يا عزيز يا غفار يا رب العالمين. اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه, وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه. اللهم اهدنا واهد بنا واجعلنا سببا لمن اهتدى. اللهم استخدمنا لخدمة دينك. اللهم استخدمنا لخدمة دينك. اللهم استخدمنا لخدمة دينك. اللهم اجعل خير أعمالنا خواتيمها, وخير أعمالنا أواخرها, وخير أيامنا يوم لقائك يا رب العالمين. اللهم أصلح لنا ديننا الذي هو عصمة أمرنا, وأصلح لنا دنيانا التي فيها معاشنا, وأصلح لنا آخرتنا التي إليها معادنا, واجعل الحياة زيادة لنا في كل خير, واجعل الموت راحة لنا من كل شر. بفضلك دعوان فيها سبحانك اللهم وتحية فيها سلام, وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين.
I'm going to ask Nizam also to make dua now. Can you make a specific dua for our parents and for our viewers, min fadlikum?
Al-Fatiha.
Because we just went, we happened to go into parents, and you know, I'm thinking a lot about my parents now, and I'm sure everybody is. So let's.
Alhamdulillah, on this night of potentially Qadr, this last night of the month of Ramadan, we call out to you, Ya Allah. We ask you, Ya Allah, to guide us and protect us. Ya Allah, we make a special dua for our parents, those who have passed away. We ask that you grant them nur in the qabr.
Amen, Ya Rabbi.
We ask that you grant them Jannatul Firdaus in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Forgive them for their shortcomings. Pardon them. Be merciful to them, Ya Rabb. To our parents that are still with us, we ask you, O Allah, to grant them good health.
Amen.
To grant them the strength. Amen. To grant them the time to be with us and for us to be with them. O Allah, forgive us if we have wronged our parents. Amen. Ya Allah, forgive us if we have wronged our parents. Ya Allah, we ask you in this auspicious moment in the month of Ramadan to forgive us if we've wronged our parents in any way. Ya Allah, bless our parents, grant them good lives in your obedience. Ya Allah, bless those who took the time to watch this podcast. We ask you to accept the intentions and the du'as. We ask you to place barakah in their lives, Ya Allah. You know the circumstances, you know the conditions. Facilitate their affairs in the best of ways, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, forgive us. Ya Allah, allow us love for one another for your sake, Ya Allah. Allow for us to be under your arsh because we fall in the category of loving one another for your sake, Ya Allah. To come together for your sake, to spend time together for your sake, and to leave and to part ways for your sake. Oh Allah, we ask you to place barakah in every organization that is doing good. Oh Allah, we ask you to facilitate the relationships and the dynamics of the Ahlul Badr. It could come with difficulty to work with other individuals, with other organizations. But so beautifully, Mu'allima Fadwa said that when we have like-hearted people, Allah makes things easy. Oh Allah, allow for us to always be surrounded with like-hearted people. Amen. Ya Allah, allow for the Isnad Academy and the podcast to grow beyond expectations. Facilitate the affairs for them in every way. Amen. Utilize them in your service, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, protect our children, protect our offspring. Ya Allah, allow for us and our children and our progeny to live with La ilaha illallah and die with La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allow for us to be among those who are the first to enter Jannah and be reunited with our parents and grandparents and family, inshallah. Wa sallallahu ala Sayyidina Muhammad nabil ummihi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallim wa salamun ala mursaleen. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.
Barakallahu feekum. Jazakumullah khairan, everyone. Take care. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.